Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Twisted roads in your mind, darkness grows. A noise whispering trees blow a dark haunting breeze right through you. Telling tales young and old, I hope that you enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Monster Legends Podcast. I'm your host, Tanner, and today we have a special guest, Aeon Mess. I'm going to say your name. What's your name?
Anonymous SH.
Anonymous.
That's how you say it.
Anonymous SH. It's a tongue twister.
Yeah, it is a tongue twister, for sure.
Well, how are you doing, man? What's going on with you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm Rockstar Anonymous SH. I do a lot of occultish kind of music. I figured it'd be a good idea to come on a show like this, give some kind of, you know, possibly share some stories dealing with similar kind of shit that would be appealing to people who like to hear about that kind of stuff. Can you hear me pretty well, by the way?
Yeah, I can hear you great. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
So what got you started in music?
Got me started in music. Was just basically always been a passion of mine. Always been something I wanted to do, and I've always really, really enjoyed scaring people. Yeah. I like creepy shit. I always did. So I just put two and two together, and that's what I did.
That's awesome. What was your first song you ever wrote yourself?
I can't even remember. Just fucking around with stuff and you just see what works. I can't even remember. It was probably a song of mine called Fall Low.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to swear on this show, by the way?
Yeah, this don't be like a swearing all the time.
Oh, wait, so you can yes or no? I didn't really get that.
Yeah, you can.
Well, if I can, then just let me know, because I won't do it. I just have a habit.
Oh, it's fine. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know, because every show is different. Like, depending where you're podcasting, you can't do it. You know what I mean? But if you have your own thing, then you know there are no rules, essentially. So that's why I asked.
I have my own thing.
Okay. So yeah.
So were you in band in school?
No, actually, I just over the years, some music was always something I wanted to do, and I just started doing it slowly and surely. Then I started performing, started writing my own stuff, started, putting all over the internet and all that. Yeah.
I'll get my notes up. So we're in today's episode, we're in North Carolina. What shows have you done? Have you ever been to North Carolina? Or any shows or anything?
Actually, no, not yet, but I have a lot of family that lives out there.
Oh yeah, me too. Oh, where at? I have some family up there too.
You know, actually, I'm not really sure where they're at over there, but somewhere in North Carolina. They moved there fairly recently.
My sister and her husband, they were living at Cary, but I think they moved somewhere else around there. It's got a big old house and stuff.
Yeah, what do you talk about, like, on this? Like, do you get into, like, aliens and stuff like that or no?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. There were some alien sightings back in, like, a bunch of UFO sightings in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen any aliens?
I mean, my view on that stuff, it's definitely, I don't know how to put it. Yeah, well, I mean, so what do you believe in, essentially? How do you like categorize your beliefs? And I'll comment on what I'm trying to say, because what I'm trying to say is pretty complicated. That's why.
I believe anything that's has evidence for it.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So, do you like classify it as like aliens, or what did you call it, demons, or what do you, you know?
Demons is the weird word. It's more like, that's more like a religious thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, some people classify in different things, but yeah, I mean, let's just say supernatural shit is real.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just real. It's real 100%. I've had plenty of experiences with it, but the only reason I ask is because some people categorize it in different ways, so I wasn't sure how you thought about it, because it's an interesting subject. And recently I heard about the president putting out, like, commenting on UFOs, for example, so it seems like perhaps they're going down that road of some kind of disclosure of some sort, of some of entities, or whatever it happens to be. It seems like that is becoming a feasible reality. That's what it seems like to me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it is. Like, last year or 2 years ago, the Navy said there were UFOs from that one video from 2006, I think. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming real. They're talking about it more because of the whole Freedom of Information Act.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of try to pay attention to it, but not really, because I have my own stuff going on.
You're kind of breaking up a little bit. So I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, hold on. All right, how about now?
It seems to be good.
All right.
But yeah, aliens. Yeah, it's definitely, it's hard to classify that kind of belief, but yeah. It's more or less true, let's say.
So you think that was that reptilian, conspiracy theories real about all the politicians being reptilians?
Well, I do have a fascination with all things reptile, always have. I love fucking reptiles. I don't know about you.
I have a snake.
I grew up with a snake. I grew up with a turtle, and I just love reptiles. Is the skip theory true? Well, it depends on which way you classify it. Are like politicians and them reptiles? No, that's not true. But what is true is that Well, human beings aren't really at the pecking, like top of the pecking order. That's, you know, it's, there are like, you know, there are entities that are well beyond human beings, however you want to classify them. That's your prerogative. But, you know, humans aren't the center of the universe. There's no way. It's not even feasible.
Yeah. People think because we're like so adapted to the, like everything seems to be made for us, but really we're just made for the world.
Not at all. Yeah. You're right. 100% right. Yeah. I mean, that's 100% true. Humans are not at the center of the universe whatsoever. So however you want to classify it, call it aliens or demons, doesn't really fucking matter to me. But human beings, because I kind of see both subjects as one. So humans are not at the center of it, though. There's no way. There's not a shot. Not a shot about that at all. But as for like your average politician, is he a reptile? No, I would say no on that one. But it's a complex subject, though, and humans really aren't supposed to understand it. These kind of things.
Yeah. You think ghosts could be aliens as well? Ghosts, demons, aliens—they're all the same. They're all the same.
Ghosts, aliens, and demons are not all the same. Aliens and demons can be the same, but a ghost is just the spiritual essence of a once biological creature that has basically left its essence on Earth. So it's just basically a form of energy, disincarnate energy that is still around on this planet, because when you die, your energy still remains on this Earth in one fashion or another. So that is how you explain spirits. And I've had tons of experiences like that with spirits and shit. They're definitely real for sure. Especially if you go to a place that has a, certain places have more energy or more, what do you call it? There's more history of energy or energetic forces in certain areas, and that's why they call certain places haunted. Because it's true. If you go to a place where a bunch of people, like an abandoned mental hospital, for example, if you go to these places, you'll see, tons, or you'll just walk in and you'll feel a different presence. And that is basically, those are the spirits. They're still there because their soul or whatever, their energy is still focused on the earth. Now, we can get into religion and all that and why that is, but it's like, fact of the matter is, it's spirits are just concentrated energy. They can be positive or negative. Just, it usually depends on how they died. Because if you got fucking killed or murdered, you'd be pissed. Yeah. And you'd want to haunt people.
I kind of remember them saying something like how haunted places have a certain, like give you a certain brain weight, like a certain kind of wave of energy that makes you like feel uneasy and weird and stuff.
What was the question?
I remember them saying something about how haunted houses and stuff have like a certain like energy to them. Like, yeah, you can actually measure it, and it gives off makes you feel uneasy and like weird.
Yeah, definitely. Especially in Pennsylvania, where I happen to be right now, because in this area there are tons of beautiful forest areas. So that's what I really love. I fucking love nature and all that. And there are tons of just beautiful. Pennsylvania has, like, in my opinion, the most beautiful forest in the whole country. There's so much beautiful forestry in this country that a lot of people take for granted. And usually, in a lot of those open places, spirits remain in those places, especially.
Is there any haunted forces?
There's around Pennsylvania. There are tons. You got to go up basically to the Ohio, West Virginia border.
Yeah,
those are the areas that have the most. Also, you can get, there's like an entrance to the Appalachian Trail up here as well, and that's very cool too. There's tons of stuff that way as well.
nuts. Is there like any one in particular that's super on it?
You know what I really like, actually? I really like the abandoned coal mines. I wouldn't recommend you go there, though. But that's what I really that's what I really find the most interesting, are the abandoned coal mines. That they have a lot of history. And and judging by how the world is going, my prediction is that this is just going to be total fucking anarchy in the future. So there's going to be a bunch of people just living off the grid in places like this. Yeah. That's where I think everything is going. Just like, just people are so fucking crazy on all sides of the spectrum, and I just see the whole thing fucking going down. So
probably,
or yeah.
or something else will come up, and we'll probably forget about what this is going on now in like 3 months.
Well, no, it's definitely not going to be gone. There's no way, because it's just one thing after another. It's like, yeah. It's like we reached a new point. That's what people don't realize. We reached a new point in history. We're going through a historical period, and it's not necessarily positive. And it's no longer just a headline on television meant to scare you. This is real stuff, and this is actually happening. This is all real stuff. It's no longer just watch the news and get confused. It's basically, we're living in a historical period right now. That's what people need to realize.
Speaking of aliens, a man in North Carolina shared footage containing a set of unidentified flying objects. William Guy on a ferry ride on the Pamlico Sound, and he captured an image with his cell phone. He said, we are in the middle of the ocean and there isn't any land nearby, says Guy. 30-second long footage shows a series of lights flying over the water. They don't seem to be making any kind of maneuvers and appear to be moving at a constant speed. That was one UFO sighting. Another one says, North Carolina motorist claims he saw two UFOs and was able to capture part of the incident on camera. The anonymous man said he was driving on Shannon Road on his way to Polk County 2 weeks ago when he noticed an anomaly. There was a large ball of light hovering over the horizon, he says. I grabbed my phone and took a picture. North Carolina resident added that as he drove his vehicle through some trees, he could actually see two lights hovering together. He said, I tried to video them. I went through some more trees. There was only one light again, he said, about a short and blurry video taken about through a car window that didn't show much. Shortly, the driver was able to observe the light during the entire trip until he arrived at his workplace. The sighting prompted intervention of the United States government, as they were a special concern regarding national security. It was always speculated that these two moving green lights were part of a new Russian spy device. Initial site reports were dismissed as metallic green flares from meteors, but further investigations performed by Dr. Lincoln Appaz determined the lights had too many anomalous characteristics to be a type of meteor. Appaz investigated the Roswell incident in 1947, also involving green lights. After a few witness interviews involving the affidavit of Earl L. Zimmerman, he concluded the object was an unidentified extraterrestrial probe. The phenomenon also prompted the creation of Project Twinkle, established at Holloman Air Force Base in February 1950. They concluded that the green lights were a national event, probably related to sonar meteors. The project was dismantled in 1951. Robert Hastings and his book UFOs and Nukes conducted an extensive research on the lights and proposed a theory that the extraterrestrial beings were possibly snooping on nuclear facilities. Hastings painstakingly documented UFO nuke connection. Numerous interviews with former entire U.S. Air Force personnel revealed the incredible encounters that were regarded as a threat to national security, perhaps motivated by the dangers of full-scale nuclear war. These green lights usually showed up around weapon storage facilities and nuclear testing ranges, to the point of creating malfunctions reported in some cases. In 2010, Hastings reported at a press conference in Washington, D.C., explained the possible connection between the green fireballs and nukes. Other researchers proposed different theories, as it was the case of Dan Wilson explained lights were possibly caused by the nuclear debris, or William K. Hartman with his idea of lights just being lunar material ejected during meteor impacts on the moon's surface. The unnamed woman said Thursday that even though she and her husband have strange cursed before. They were nothing like that supposedly been happening for the past week. Events are allegedly taking place at nighttime and usually when the couple is already in bed. Oh yeah, that one was a couple seeing aliens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, the alien thing is like, it's complicated because it could also just be foreign technology as well. It's pretty much a mix of both, if I want to weigh in on that. But aliens, you know, I mean, what are your theories on, like, all the alien stuff?
I think, like, 9 times out of 10, it's probably just foreign technology.
You don't believe there are in any capacity?
I think it's more like, it's probably more likely that they're, it's more off. Sightings are more often probably just technology, UFOs. It's probably just foreign technology or secret stuff they're working on, but there's aliens out there. It's too big of a universe to not be aliens.
Yeah, I think we're coming to a point of disclosure of certain things. I think people are gonna see basically, like, they're gonna see things as they are. I think we're coming to that point. I believe it's more or less all theater, but I also believe that it's all part of a cosmic chain of events.
Can suck sometimes, and your boss accidentally seeing you in your underpants on Zoom last week doesn't help any.
That's why reluctantly codependent sisters, the Shira and Rishalia, keep you enthralled and in stitches every week with their podcast, Legendary Africa.
Every Monday and Friday, we take you on a journey of mythical lands, magical objects, and monstrous creatures, both ancient and modern.
Find Legendary Africa on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever you feed your ears. And remember, stay safe,
stay sexy,
and stay legendary.
I think the government knows anything about this, or are they as clueless as other people? Everyone else?
Does the government know about this stuff? Yeah, of course, 100%. And that's what I was saying. The president was actually talking about this, which is unusual for a president to talk about such things, which makes me think that this is gonna, the world's going in this direction. And what was the president that said? What did he say? The president that said the world needs some foreign agents to unite against. The world needs to be united, and if it has to be aliens, then it has to be aliens. One of the presidents did say that. I thought that was interesting. I can't remember which one that was, though. And then also, what else was the fucking... I more or less believe it is. It's just all part of a process to me. I think people are going to see these things come into view more or less in the future, especially UFOs.
More about the couple. Said, according to the woman, the entities have assorted shapes and sizes, including primates. Creature fully meet at the couple's bed and among other activities, observed the pair as they lay in it. Started with the alien watching me and my husband in darkness. Others were playing over me. The woman also claims that she had tried speaking with the beings, but despite seeing their mouths moving, she could not hear the words. These ostensible creatures, she says, appear to have some type of light projectors leaves are using in order to convey a message to the couple. The problem, it appears, is that she cannot figure out how to decipher the meaning. First night, I saw a creature. I saw a huge grid on the wall behind the TV. It was about 6-inch letters and pictures, but I couldn't figure out where it disappeared, she explained. Same night again, a grid, but this time I heard my husband's voice, him calling to me with the even though he was sleeping. I again saw a grid over his entire chest with letters and husband's voice. Call me. pens with letters and amazing drawings of various animals. Assigned there was English words and phrases, but one block on the grid was a clock, hands moving forward quickly. Clock was the only character on the grid that was both red and flashing. A North Carolina resident says he had a close encounter with a luminous egg-shaped flying creature.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so I've always been interested in the Men in Black.
Yeah.
The real Men in Black. And I'm also, what was I also going to say? Aliens? What was I going to say about aliens? There are definitely, like, if you paid attention to my music, you'll definitely see, like, themes of shape-shifting. That's a real phenomenon as well. I think people are going to see these things in plain view in the future. That's what my prediction says.
Your music's really good, by the way.
Yeah, the video I sent you, you can see, if you pay attention to the videos I send, there are tons of, especially in that one in which I sent, there's definitely a shape-shifting element in that one. And I think in the future, people are going to see these things more as they are. And that's what I like to do with my music. I like to play with that element of the unknown and mystery.
Drop off all the songs. What do you feel? Ever seen like any cryptids in Pennsylvania?
Explain what that is.
It's animal that hasn't been discovered or considered to be like mysterious, like a werewolf or a like monster or Bigfoot, something like that.
All you need to do is really just go cave exploring. There was this one gentleman named Ted, the cave explorer. Back in the old days of the internet, there was something called Ted. I forget what it was called, Ted, the cave explorer. He would go in these very intricate caves. Some caves are super interesting. That's why I like Pennsylvania. Tons of caves. I love caves. Caves and coal mines. Anyway, go to these things, and you'll see a whole bunch of weird, bizarre creatures and stuff like that. Depends how far. Like, entities that have lived inside these things for, I don't know, millennia, they're totally differently evolved to life on Earth than the rest of the creatures are, because, for one, there's no natural sunlight. So, this is their evolution. And if anyone doesn't think that, you know, some form of animal does not exist in these things, some of these caves are truly intricate, and it's an amazing thing. They're so complex, and they often go miles and miles and miles. And of course there are animals inside these things that manage to evolve. There are many, many creatures that have not been disclosed to the public, for sure. And caves are one of my favorite things. And especially underwater caves, sea caves, like in the Marianas Trench.
Yeah.
Caves that go down fucking to the center of the earth. Yeah, there are tons of weird, bizarre creatures that have not been classified in typical biology.
There's several like monsters in North Carolina. A man from Mecklenburg County on Sunday said he saw a dinosaur-like creature. BTS salesman who provided a full name but extremely anonymous told Cryptozoology News that he was at Lake Norman on a boat with his friends when his animal showed up on a Saturday morning. He said, I was on a boat with my friends, he said. We were near the lake's main channel when we saw something splashing around in the water. He described the alleged creature as a 10-feet-long dinosaur reminiscent of the mythical Loch Ness Monster. He added that the animal was visible for about 1 minute before disappearing back into the water. There were no photographs or videos submitted with the report. In 2016, a man from the same area reported seeing a reptilian being swimming at Lake Norman, North Carolina. The Charlotte man says he saw a snake-like creature at a lake in Catawba County. the 76-year-old man, a retired Charlotte man who acts to be kept anonymous, told Cryptozoology News on Sunday that he was staying at his house on Lake Norman last Thursday when he spotted an unknown creature. He said, "I have a house right by the shores of the lake with a umpty overlooking the lake. I was looking out at the lake and saw large splashes in the water," he said. Creature described as a long and yellow reptile, probably was visible as a man for about 30 seconds. In 2015, a man claiming to be a park ranger told Cryptozoology News he had seen, quote, "something that looked like a dinosaur eating a duck at the same lake." People said Tuesday they spotted a dinosaur-like creature in Wake County. Fisher described the animal as a 10-foot-long like creature. It's like, and parts of lake monsters are rare. In 2014, a Canadian man released a series of photographs containing what he claimed to be the Opoko monster. Same year, park ranger at Lake Tell, Republic of Congo, said he spotted a dinosaur-like monster and not able to watch it for over 5 minutes. It's a big thing, doing this show, like almost every state with a lake or anything like that, like water, there's always a like monster. And I think every
go search for the reptile entities. That's what people need to start doing. Going to the reptiles.
Talking about the draconians.
The what?
The draconians.
No, what are the cronians?
The draco.
Oh, draconians. Yeah. Well, hopefully they come up from the center of the earth and start eating people. That would be funny as hell.
That one movie that came out about the Hitler and everyone being draconians and they're living in the center of Earth. I forget what it's called.
But the living in the center of the Earth would be fucking hopeless. Like, it would be great. I want to go to live in the center of the Earth. You know how fucking fun that would be, living in the center of the Earth? I would love it.
Oh. I need some fresh air. Once in a while.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hot as hell down there, actually. You wouldn't even really need a sun if you think about it, because all the magma and all that stuff at the center of the Earth, it's weird how things function. Like, earthquakes are caused because of the pressure, so much pressure from inside of the Earth, like the center of the Earth. And it caused, actually, that's how an earthquake starts. It starts because of the pressure in the center of the Earth, and it goes towards the surface of the Earth through like a ripple effect, and eventually, yeah, that's how an earthquake starts. So it's super hot down there, and imagine the fucking entities that do live down there. There has to be some kind of animal form that lives down there for sure, and by logic, it would have to be gigantic to survive all that pressure down there. The more pressure, the larger the creatures would theoretically have to be. Same with the center of the ocean too, or the bottom of the ocean floor, Mariana's Trench. But who's to say Mariana's Trench is the bottom of everything? Who's to say there's not a sea cave that goes all the way down to the center of the Earth? That's what I believe. There has to be several sea caves. And think of the animals that would traverse these things. They would be extremely intelligent to know the natural pathways of these things. To know a cave, like, I don't know if you've ever seen the Paris catacombs. That's another fascination of mine. It's a catacomb. It just seemingly goes on forever. Some parts are really small. It's like, why would this part be really small? And then you have to like crouch down to get through this another part. And then there's a whole room full of skulls. And it's just all this cave art. And it's a real mystery. I don't know if you ever knew anything about the Paris catacombs, but that's one of my biggest fascinations. I love that. Paris catacombs.
I remember a little bit about them from school.
There was someone who went down there to explore, and there's a video of him getting lost. He never returned. You're really not. It's actually illegal to go down there. You're not supposed to go down there. He went down, and he took a video camera, and he videotaped himself, and he got lost in the thing. He's never heard again.
How they get there?
Think of what's down there, though. Like, that would be torturous.
Yeah, how do you get the video?
I don't know. Someone found the video, and he dropped the camera, and then someone... Because people go down there all the time to, like, cave explore and all that. Someone else found the footage much later on. Oh. But, yeah, he's, like, freaking out because he can't find his way back. And you're not going to find your way back. There's a very specific pattern to that cave. So you're not going to really find your way back unless you know the fucking, you know, blueprint of whoever designed that fucking thing. Which is really, really interesting. It's so interesting. That is, like, a fucking... Like, one of my top fascinations are those, like, Paris catacombs and other catacomb-like, like, whatever you want to call them, caves. And it's more than a cave, though. It's, like, it's a catacomb. It's like a shrine to who knows what, death, possibly? I don't know. But just think of whatever life form would have evolved down there. It would be freakish.
Reminds me of that one story by Edgar Allan Poe, about the guy getting stuck between the walls of that catacomb.
Yeah, Edgar Allan Poe. He's a great writer and poet.
What was that story?
So what else do you talk about on this?
Some famous cryptids in Urkana, like the Beasts of Bladenboro. In the winter of 1953-54, the town of Bladenboro, North Carolina, was terrorized by a creature they dubbed the Bladenboro Beast. Although no humans are believed to have been killed by the beast, they claim several dogs, goats, and other smaller creatures. It appears that night of December 29th, 1953, when a local woman heard neighbors' dogs bark suddenly and then begin to whimper. On New Year's Eve, Police Chief Roy Forrest was called out to Woody Storm's farm. Chief Forrest Storm was distraught as two of his dogs had been killed viciously by something powerful and large. What's strange, though, why I decided to call the police was the strange fact that both of his big dogs had been completely drained of their blood. Stumped, Chief Forrest left the farm. Police Chief Roy Forrest organized a hunt for the creature, but came up empty-handed. Chief Fussell told the newspapers about the creature. The beast got national publicity, and hunters all the way from Tennessee, newspapers from Arizona to New York made coverages of the hunt for the beast. Children were not allowed at night, and men stormed the forest with guns trying to find the creature. The beast returned to North Carolina in 2007, bringing more surprises and fear with it. In Lexington, 60 goats were found with their blood drained and their heads crushed. 30 miles away in Greensboro, another farmer lost his goats in the same way. In Bolivia, a man named Bill Robinson believed his pit bull to the creature. 4 days later, another resident Leon Williams, found his pit bull dead. It was covered in blood and was missing a few body parts. There was a sign of a struggle, which is strange for a pit bull. Other places lost a total amount of 10 dogs in just 2 weeks. On December 29th, 1953, a local woman heard her neighbor's dogs barking, whimpering. It was the first sign of the beast burrow on York Evesham. People saw they saw ammo like bear or panther that was 3 feet long, 20 inches high, with a long tail and cat's face. Others report hearing the creatures scream from the swamps near town, saying it sounded like a woman with a knife stuck in her back.
Yeah, it's all interesting. I have to go in like a little bit. I'm actually caught me. It's like a bad time for me.
All right,
I had a blast, but
yeah, stop to do, no worries.
Yeah, I'm super, super busy with the whole coronavirus and all that. But anyway, yeah, if follow the videos, there's tons of demonic forces, alien forces, and spirits and all that kind of interesting stuff in my videos. And there's definitely going to be more of that for sure. Anyone who's a skeptic on those things, just check out the videos yourself and see. I'm only really getting started in terms of all the video stuff, but yeah, the way our world's going, you're going to see a lot more what we could call supernatural and bizarre shit in the future, just in general.
Where can people find you?
They're just basically my Twitter, anonymous H-Sage with a one at the end of it. It's one of the best ones. That's like the hub, and then they can find everything else pretty much from there. But they'll see a lot of super bizarre shit in the future, I can assure that.
Well, I'm gonna get you back on here.
So yeah, for sure. Thank you very much for the time on the show. No, I appreciate it, and have a nice day.
You too, man. Have a good one. Well, unfortunately, Aeon had to go because he had stuff to do, but let's continue on with the show. There were, so what was the Beast of Blandenborough? There was certainly something that killed some dogs in the woods of Blandon County in the early days of 1950s, 53, 54. Among these was the mayor, Woodrow Fussell, who also appeared to be the owner of the local movie theater. There was talks of it being a big cat. Fussell can't be blamed for knowing a good gimmick when he saw one. There were also another Blandenborough resident, Dick the Half-Man Hurlburn, who despite being born with no legs, only owned one arm, had a fairly remarkable career. Hurlburn had traveled with the circus for some years, working as a tattoo artist, and running a sideshow with his partner Carl Frog Boy Norwood. Dick Hurlburn cashed in on the assignment of making Beasts of Blandenborough souvenirs. In addition to his many other skills, Hurlburn was a talented artist who set up a shop as a sign painter when he returned home. The monster madness began going around. Hurlburn saw opportunity. He began to produce license plates and other memorabilia with the vampire beast painted on it. He had no trouble selling them to scores of hunters who had descended on the town. Describing this since years later, Mayor Russell confessed, "A little publicity never hurt a small town," and stated that the beast was 10% real, 90% imagination. Russell definitely had a hand in stoking the imagination, but he never anticipated how out-trolled the situation would get. The decision to call an end to the hunt came about because of the rare danger that an over-anxious hunter would shoot someone thinking he was killing the beast. Weird. Another cryptid from North Carolina is the Wampus Cat. Strange things happen in the mountains at night. Deep down in the valleys, mysterious noises echo through darkness. Something is roaming through the night. Animals disappear from farmyards. The folks who live in the hills hide in their homes. Whenever anything unusual happens in the night, whenever mysterious calls are heard, they say it's the Wampus Cat. They say that the Wampus Cat was once a beautiful Cherokee woman. She became a strange mix of cougar and human and was cursed to live forever and alone in the woods, never again enjoying human company. And so the... So the Wampus Cat roams the Appalachian Mountains at night, traveling up and down the hills, in and out of the valleys, forever wandering, ever alone in the mountains. So, while a central figure in the story of the Wampus Cat is said to be a Cherokee woman, it is clear that the story is told about the Cherokee rather than a Cherokee story, and the Wampus Cat itself seems to go back further than the story as it's told today. The Wampus Cat first came to the attention of the world outside the mountains in the first half 19th century. Although at the time it wasn't the Wampus Cat the people were talking about, but the cat Wampus, which was a word used to describe the idea of an unknown animal lurking in the woods and add something to blame any unusual event on. So something in the early 20th century, the syllables were transposed and the cat Wampus became the Wampus Cat. And Wampus alone is still used throughout North Carolina to describe an unknown or mysterious animal. said in Cherokee mythology, the monster is a cat-like abundant of a female onlooker cursed by tribal elders as punishment for hiding beneath the pelt of a large wild cat to witness a sacred ceremony. The Wampus Cat has been associated in several Southeastern tribal beliefs as a shapeshifter. Later, various towns in the United States reported sightings as early as the 1920s of the Wampus Cat, which would kill livestock. The appearance of the Wampus Cat varies wildly, but is always feline in nature. It is usually depicted similarly to a cougar or mountain lion with light tan or yellow fur, has yellow eyes, and often has six legs as opposed to four. Its modern depictions of the Wampus Cat includes the Strange Way Burrowings in Virginia. In literature, a musical ensemble was recorded several tracks in 1937 and 1938. Consisting of six or seven strings, musicians, including Oscar Buddy Woods, were billed as the Wampus Cat. J.K. Rowling's Pottermore story, History of Magic in North America, lists the Wampus Cat as a source for hair used in magic wands. The Wampus Cat is used as a mascot for numerous educational institutions. Go down my list of notes here. Okay, Bigfoot. Bigfoot sightings in North Carolina. Denise Galindo told the BFRO that she and her husband were driving in Swain County at dusk when they saw an unidentified primate a few days ago. And quote, there was a very strange looking, what I thought was an odd looking man as we passed it. I said to my husband, that is a strange looking person. And as I looked into the rear viewing mirror, it stood up on the road and was watching us driving away. That is when I realized what it really was, he said. As we approached that area, we saw it on the other side of the road watching us. The creature was described as 7 to 8 foot tall, humanoid, covered in long black hair. This is particularly strange because they had the time to go back and see their alleged creature a second time. The woman in North Carolina says she often sees an ape-like creature walking around her property. Cook says the sightings began in March when she noticed a few footprints on her property, which she showed on a short video interview by a woman, Tracy Herberts, told Cryptozoology News she had a restaurant near a wooded area when she spotted the hominid. Quote, I was going to smoke a cigarette before my husband came out of the restaurant and we were eating at. She explains the restaurant had a deck out of the side of it to it out over the water where you could feed the turtles and ducks. She added, the Belmont woman says the restaurant was out in a very rural area. She was the only one to see the alleged Sasquatch. Another sign, Hibbert's recalls the creature as being of a brownish dark color, but admitted that she was not able to see its face because it was running so fast. When she told her husband, she adds, he quickly dismissed it as a deer, but she says, but deer do not run on two legs, says Herbert. Duke Carolina man on Sunday said they came upon two Bigfoot-like creatures in Guilford County. Alan Coleman, a retired 44-year-old North Carolinian, told Cryptology News that he and his friend were looking for potential hunting locations back in January when they encountered the creatures. It was heavily traveled game trail and decided to sit down and see if any deer may be in the area and to rest. After sitting there for about 5 minutes or so, we heard movement in the thicket. We're sure it was a big bug, but making its way through as it was making a lot of noise and sounded as if it was struggling to get through the thicket. But he explains, there was no deer coming from it, as one of the animals probably struggled to make its way through the bushes. Coleman and his friends recall a sudden and easy silence. Crouched down by the creek, maybe 40 yards away, my friend startled, to say the least, started to get up to corn other ones, set out the thicket on the creek side. A feeling came over me like no feeling I ever felt, said Coleman. Following, he says they went down to the creek. Coleman described the creature as having brown and shaggy fur fading to gray in certain areas. He estimated the tallest creatures that weighed at about 400 pounds. The blaze was about 8 feet tall. A group of children, there's another one, another big sighting. A group of children in North Carolina says they came across a primate-like creature. Fed, whose last name was omitted due to journalistic ethics codes, related to the age of a witness, told Cryptology News that he and his cousins were exploring a mountain path in his neighborhood when the animal showed up. My cousins were ahead of me. I was slaughtering behind, and this creature stepped out of the woods. He adds about the reported 2013 cryptic encounter. The unidentified animal, was the eyewitness said, walked on two legs, probably had a red fur, and was about 8 to 10 feet tall. Speaking of werewolves, I was talking about werewolves earlier with Anon. T.I. told Cryptozoology News on Thursday that she was driving her son to her mother's house when she encountered the creature in 2017. She quotes as saying, "There are a lot of woods there. It's about to get out of the car," she said. The unusual canine, she added, howled, then the eyewitness got out of the car. "I grabbed my son and ran to the mother's door. As I looked back, the animal seemed gone, but while knocking on the door, I looked back again and noticed something black running away. I could tell he was mad." I did dinosaurs. Yeah, I did dinosaurs and... So, there's an interesting one about the emerald eye, the moon eye people. Notes are at. Give me a moment. Okay. Moon Eye people of North Carolina. Legend has it the Moon Eye people were an entire race of physically small inhabitants of a wooded area near what is now Murphy, North Carolina. With pale white skin and bearded faces, their large blue eyes were said to be so sensitive to the sun they were only able to operate by the light of the moon, hence the name Moon Eye. Various tales have been told over time, both ending in the expulsion of this mysterious clan to life lived underground. One legend finds the Moon Eye people driven by their homes by the Creek tribe from the south. The story goes that the creek waited until the light of the full moon became even too bright for the nocturnal cave dwellers to face, ambushed them in their weak movement, and drove them from their homeland to parts unknown. Another account sees the Cherokee people themselves fighting the Moon Eye people towards the west to what is now Tennessee. And a more recent theory speculates that the Moon Eye people may have sought refuge further north in what is now West Virginia. While many are quick to assume that this legend is but one of many found in Cherokee folklore, one glaring distinction remains. Unlike many supernatural entities found in Cherokee mythology, Cherokee referred to the Moon Eye people as a separate race of people found inhabiting the earth at the same moment as they, in a time before Columbus would discover the Americas. The physical difference between these indigenous peoples and their light-skinned counterparts immediately suggests to many that the mysterious Moon Eye tribes descended from a group of white settlers who eventually landed themselves in the Appalachian Mountains. A look back at the late 1100s may help to provide answers, or pending in your view, add yet another layer to the mystery of the Moon Eye people. According to a 16th century manuscript published by Welsh antiquarian Humphrey Lewd, a Welshman by the name of Prince Madoc was believed to have sailed from Wales across the Atlantic to what is now Mobile Bay, Alabama, in the year 1171. Legend has it, upon arriving, Madoc and his crew ventured north along the Alabama River toward the Tennessee Valley and were never heard from again. Years later, early explorers discovered a unique tribe of Welsh-speaking Native Americans known as the Mandan, who, with lighter skin and a language reminiscent of Welsh, were believed to be direct descendants of the Madoc expedition. Whether they were, in fact, the first white settlers to reach the shores of the United States or not, details of their habitation may possibly remain along the rivers traveled in the mountains they supposedly called home. Mysterious mounds and rock fortifications remain in the expanses of the Appalachian Mountains, all without a doubt man-made. A soapstone carving of joined diggers remains on display at the Cherokee County Historical Museum. Although its physical appearance can be witnessed in plain sight, the mystery behind its formation reigns even after all this time. Physically, presence can be witnessed believed to be centuries old. The effigy was apparently carved out by the tapings of another rock, eventually revealing a two-headed figure with a round head, eyes too large for their faces. Although found in Murphy, North Carolina in the early 1840s, the figure believed to be depict the moon-eyed people themselves, only recently went on display for public viewing in 2015. In the mountains of the southern Appalachian, from North Carolina down to Georgia and Alabama, remains of an ancient stone structures line the ridges. Some of these are additional additions to natural rock formations, others are entirely man-made stone structures line the ridges. Some of these are distance. Who built these structures? Are they remains of an ancient war fought in Appalachians? Are they all that's left of the moon-eyed people? And the moon-eyed people are a race of small men who, according to Cherokee legend, once lived in the southern Appalachians. The moon-eyed people were said to be physically very different from Cherokee, being bearded and have pale, perfectly white skin. They were called moon-eyed people because they were unable to see in daylight, their sensitive eyes being blinded by the sun. For this reason, they were strictly nocturnal and lived in underground caverns. A Cherokee rock fort in northern Alabama, sites such as this were associated with the moon-eyed people. Perhaps the most famous structure associated with the moon-eyed people is just over the North Carolina border in Georgia at the Fort Mountain. Now State Park, Fort Mountain gets name from the 850-foot-long stone wall that varies in height from 2 to 6 feet, stretches along the top of the ridge. This stone wall is said to have been constructed around 400 to 500 CE. According to one Cherokee legend, this wall is a remnant of a war that the moon-eyed people fought and lost against neighboring Creek Nation. The Creek drove the moon-eyed people from their homeland during its full moon, which even the pale light of it is blind to the nocturnal people. Another version of the story has it that it was the Cherokee themselves who waged war against the moon-eyed people, driving them from their homes. At Iowassee, a village near was now Murphy, North Carolina, West Tennessee. Both versions of the story say the moon-eyed people began living underground after losing the war. Okay. Cherokee cosmology is complex and fascinating. It describes a universe where humans share the world with other non-human supernatural peoples. An additional Cherokee concept of the world, races such as Nuni or Yuni Sude are a part of the natural world who interact with humans at their own discretion. Similar to traditional ideas of fairies in the British Isles, however, what's interesting is that Moon-eyed people never described as being supernatural, but I remember as another group of humans who were physically very different than Native Americans. The best description of the Moon-eyed people is that they are pale skinned and bearded. Okay. According to the Welsh story, Madoc Ab Owain Gwyd was a Welsh prince who disenchanted with the Civil War racking his homeland, set sail with his brother Rigert of Blue Fallers in 1170 across the Atlantic Ocean and somewhere around Alabama. Turned his country in America, never was again. Okay, Emerald Mound. Another story tells of a West sailor named Stedman who was shipwrecked somewhere on the Gulf Coast of Alabama or Florida in the 1660s. And was sought to discover a group of Welsh-speaking natives. Stedman's account failed to publish until 1777, if the authenticity is somewhat suspect. In the 18th and 19th centuries, these stories of Welsh Indians were extremely popular. Governor Robert Dinwall of Virginia even put forth the staggering sum of $500 to $500 to finance an expedition to find the Welsh Indians, believed to be west of the Mississippi. Lewis and Clark even kept an eye out for the Welsh Indians on their famous expedition. Reconstructed structures at reconstructed structures at the Town Creek Mound Complex in Town Creek, North Carolina. When James Mooney published Myths and Legends of the Cherokee in 1902 and introduced the Cherokee legend of the Moon-Eyed people to a larger audience, it seems to be when the Cherokee story and the story of Prince Modoc began to conflate it. The idea of a Welsh Indians was just one of several popular ideas of pre-Columbian contact with the New World that were circulating in America at the time. If you go to the southern end of the Moundville complex in Moundville, Alabama, the complex contains 29 mounds and stretches over 135 acres. These stories seem to have risen up from the concept that the citizens of the new American nation had of Native Americans as opposed to historically related reality of the continent. The romantic idea of Indians as primordial, timeless, and having lived in essentially the same manner for centuries before European contact began to be prevalent in America as the new nations emerged. Ideas about the pre-contact size of the population of America at the time were also grossly underestimated. Americans saw the Indians as being scattered in small populations, unaware that these remnants of once populous nations whose ranks had been devastated by European diseases in early years of contact. Modern estimates says as much as 90% of the native population of North America may have died from disease in the 16th and 17th centuries. These civilizations left behind physical remains which Europeans encountered, particularly the mound-building Chalcolithic culture, left behind the remains of cities and temples, complexes across the southeastern United States along the Mississippi Valley, stretching as far east as Town Creek Mound in North Carolina. One of the mounds in the Winterville, Mississippian Mound Complex in Greenville, Mississippi. Unable to reconcile the physical evidence, their perceptions of Native Americans, going with the insidious assumptions of European superiority in all things, while these speculative ideas about ancient European visitors rose up to a small result to fill the gaps. But except for a brief period of Viking contact in the 10th and 11th centuries, there is no evidence that such contact ever happened. Quite a bit of evidence that it didn't happen. So the hill forts that stretch across the southern Appalachians and Cherokee legend of a conflict with some people may very well be related, probably evidence of a war that was fought on an impressive scale on North American soil a very long time ago. That's it for my notes this week. I want to thank everyone for being a guest on the show, and hopefully get on again and stuff. Sorry, I'm stretching. Thank you for listening to today's episode, this week's episode, Monster Legends of North Carolina, with our special guest and take you back later. Take you back on later, and I'm gonna end this. See ya. Bye. See you next week.
Well, now that you know where you never should roam, sleep safely, but keep one eye open in case they still follow you home.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Monster Legend Podcast. Want to find more information about Monster Legend Podcast, go to monsterlegendpodcast.com or anchor.fm/monsterlegendpodcast. There you can find all episodes and platforms on which the podcast is on, which you can subscribe to. You also can email me with questions that will be answered on the show. Thank you.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.